Take It From Us is taking a well-deserved break at the moment, so today's episode is a repeat program.
Well, another beautiful day in the city of Sails today, Tuesday, and welcome to Mental Health Radio. Take It From Us. You've just listened to our theme music from Joe Cocker, his track called Respect Yourself. I'm host Sheldon Brown, and we're pre-recording this. I have a feeling that our guest may be in the midst of a shopping mall somewhere doing this interview, but we'll determine that very soon. Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us, promotes mental healthiness and is brought to you and funded by Ember Wellbeing Trust. Today we talk to a person with lived experience of mental health who will probably agree that his journey to recovery has been a roller coaster ride. And in saying that, I would suggest that that was many, many years ago now. His name, Andy Corson, who I met while facilitating the RAP or wellness workshops, has since moved to Masterton and is flourishing in a smaller community. Now, we seem to have a bit of noise in the background there, Andy.
Yeah, we're in the shopping area of Masterton called Kurupuni. It's a really vibrant area, and I apologize for any background noise. But, you know, it's things are popping down here. And so that's where I am. I'm doing Santa right now.
Right. Well, this is it's going to be a dual role for you, undertaking an interview on Take It From Us and having your Santa suit on and perhaps having people coming to you while you're undertaking an interview. This is quite a unique experience for me as host of Take It From Us. But, Andy, we welcome you to Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us. This is being pre-recorded. Andy is on his mobile, and it sounds as though, Andy, you've moved into the men's room in order to give you some privacy.
Yes.
Right. How would you like to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Well, I guess it depends on whom I'm introducing myself to. I describe myself as a Canadian by birth and a New Zealander by choice. I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm just an ordinary bloke. That's how I would normally introduce myself.
However, this is a mental health radio show, and you sought help through the Wellness Recovery Action Plan program, which I was facilitating, and so I know a little bit about your story. Well, what would you like to say about your mental health experience?
Well, I think you described it well as a roller coaster, because it was, and it's not for nothing, you know, it's mental health described as a trauma, because it is, and you go through these experiences, and then it does leave you rather bashed up, and so, you know, tools like the RAP plan, peer support, things like that are very, very important.
When did these when did this trauma sort of arise in your life?
Just before the year 2000. It's when I got my first diagnosis. And, Jay, it's been with me in some form or another since.
Sorry, that's your wife?
Sorry?
Sorry, I missed what you said. Something has been with you.
You asked about my... when did this start happening? And I would have said just before the year 2000. And that was with my first diagnosis, and it's been in some form or another with me since.
Right. Do you want to mention that diagnosis, or would you prefer not to?
Initially, it was a stress-related illness of unknown origin. Then it became a work-related illness. Then it was anxiety. Then it was atrial fibrillation triggered by anxiety. Then depression and full-on bipolar disorder.
So over what period of years did that progression occur?
Oh, the next decade, probably. So 2000 to 2010.
Right.
Maybe a little later.
Were the things that happened at work that triggered you?
Yeah, there was things that happened at work. There were things that happened in my background. My childhood, my young adult life. As with many things, there were multiple sources to the trauma.
At one point, I understand that it had got too much for you, and what happened on that occasion, or would you prefer not to mention that?
Well, in 2016, it did get to be too much for me. I had a suicide attempt. But I had second thoughts, and I sought some clarification from the person that I thought no longer needed me. And of course, I'd misinterpreted what she'd said. And so from there, I sought some additional assistance, including from the organization. It was Framework, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Framework at the time, now Ember. And that help that you sought was the Wellness Recovery Action Plan program, where we had some fairly robust discussions with another person who experienced mental health. So how did those challenges impact your life? Were you able to continue working?
I had a diminished capacity, it would be fair to say. One of the things that I found particularly helpful, though, was peer support, which was also from Framework, in the form of Clinton. He was a fantastic help. So I guess the message that I would take out of that is that really, really important to seek help when you need it.
Right, so Clinton was with our community support service, and and he was certainly very, very supportive and encouraging of your attendance at that Wellness Recovery Action Plan program, and I think we certainly had some stimulating discussions there. What role did medications take in your mental health experience?
It was a complicated role. Because as you know, when you go into a medication regime, you try one thing, they see if it works. If it doesn't work, you try something else. If it doesn't work, you try something else. And then if, they're trying several medications, they all got to play nicely together. And sometimes they don't. And so it can take time to actually find the right combination. Medication has a very definite role to play, I think. And mental health. If you need medication, you definitely need to take it. And there comes a time when you don't need to have it anymore, in which case you need to find other ways. Right. And that's what I did.
Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah. I was on a cocktail of medications at the time, 20 different pills per day. I think it's 20 pills anyway, and they wanted me to go on another four, and I thought, I'm too young to be on 24 pills a day, and I don't know if I can bed them down. I was having a lot of side effects, a lot of edema. My legs were swelling, and the skin was splitting like sausages on a barbecue. Infections were happening all the time. And I thought, right, this sucks. And so what I did was on Canada Day, July 1st, 2017, I decided, right, nothing can be as bad as what is going on right now. So I'm going off all of my medications. My doctor was on holiday in Spain at the time, and so I thought, if I'm careful, I will monitor my situation, go back on my meds if I need to, call the doctor, the locum, if I need to, or 111, but let's just see how I go. And it almost worked because the side effects started to go away. You know, all the edema, all the infection, all that just started to go away. And I started to get clarity of thought. I thought to myself, well, you know, it's entirely possible that, you know, the time for medication is now over. And it almost worked, like I said, because I'd also gone off my heart medications at the time. And I lowered my blood pressure a little bit dangerously low. And had a bit of difficulty walking, so when my doctor came back from holiday, I made an appointment, and I told her what I'd done and showed her the progress, and she couldn't deny that, the edema had gone away, and the infection had gone away, and the side effects were no longer there.
What about your mental health as well? Were you able to wean off the mental health medications and not have...
Entirely.
Yeah.
The heart medication, so she put me back on. So that's the other thing. Probably would have been smarter to use my doctor's assistance rather than to just do it unilaterally myself.
Right.
But there is life after medication. I sought different treatment alternatives. One of them was Tammy Allen's Changing Minds program.
Right.
And they use different ways of treating mental health trauma. Yeah, right. I found that really helpful.
Yeah, well, can we take a music break here, Andy, and come back and talk about how helpful that particular program was and which one it was. So we'll just take a break, and we won't play the whole music track, but we'll just introduce it into the show, and then we'll come back to you if you can stay where you are. So we're playing today a couple of tracks from the Dudes. I noticed that they were on news the other day, a concert at Spark Arena, and they were quite adamant that this show, this concert at Spark Arena, was going to be their absolutely last performance. So this is the Dudes with On The Rocks.
Dave Dillman on electric guitar. You're a very powerful crowd. We got amplifiers and guitars, but you got voices. Let's hear ya. Beautiful. People power.
Well, that's the Dudes with On The Rocks concert last Friday, which the Dudes claim will be their very last concert. They've reunited and revived themselves on many occasions, but it sounds as though their last concert was last Friday, and we're just commemorating their excellence in New Zealand music. With a couple of tracks on Take It From Us. So I'm host Sheldon Brown, and we have the rather unusual circumstance of talking to a Father Christmas whose name is Andy Corson, and Andy has had to sort of end up in the gentleman's toilet in order to have some quietness and some calm in order to undertake this this interview. Andy, you're still there?
Yeah, here I am.
Right, and you're in the cubicle of a shopping mall in Masterton and to undertake this this interview.
Yes.
Right. So, yes, I'm sorry if there was any misunderstanding about how long we might need to undertake this. But you were talking in the last part of the interview about your medications and also a program that you participated in with Changing Minds. Can you give us a bit of information about that?
Yes, I can. After coming off my meds, I looked for different ways of treating what was happening, and I encountered Changing Minds, Tammy Allen's organization. They were running a program called Aotearoa, which is a tall trees program based on lived experience, and they're taking the first intake, and I volunteered for that. Around about the same time, I decided to move to Masterton from Auckland to get away from the crazy city and, you know, take an easier approach to life, less complicated, less stressful. And so I did my training down in Wellington. And since then, you know, part of that has been media training. I've been doing mental health advocacy in the press in various forms, and I found it really very beneficial.
You've been very active on Facebook as well, Andy. Is that sort of a reflection of your sort of new self-confidence? And
yes, it is. I've been on radio. I've been on in the newspapers. I've been a part of a podcast, which actually won an award for the reporter that put it together, along with, you know, a few other people who were also interviewed. So yeah, I've been pretty busy since moving to Masterton. And one of the things that I would take from that, the takeaway I would take from that, is that if there are things in your life that are constantly triggering you, get away from them. Just do something else. Move away.
Right.
And protect yourself. Give yourself space, because you need that and you deserve that.
I mean, it's obviously quite a risky strategy in moving out of a big city into a smaller community. How did you choose the place where you were going to develop a new life?
I found all the things that I hated about Auckland, and found its exact opposite. And, you know, oddly enough, in the provinces, they have some pretty good services. And, you know, they're not quite as busy as they are in Auckland, and they're every bit as good. So, you know, there's risk and there's risk. So what you got to do is you got to do your due diligence, of course, and that's what I did.
Right. So you found mental health support in Masterton as well?
Yes, I did. Pathways has been very helpful. The local DHB has been extremely helpful. They put me on to a full-on psychologist, so talk-based therapy rather than medicine-based. And I had six sessions booked with her. I got through five of them, then COVID happened, but five was enough.
Right.
So I guess the takeaway that I'd take from that is, you know, you can get an awful lot done in, you know, fairly short amounts of time with talk-based therapies, and it's a shame that, you know, the DHBs don't lead with that type of treatment, because, you know, they would get faster results better, I think.
Right.
That's just my opinion.
Well, what did you have to do to get fast results? You had to do your homework after each of these talk-based therapy sessions?
I did. We went through some issues. Getting access was actually the most difficult part. But once I got access, I had a great psychologist, and she'd been doing it forever. And she asked intelligent questions, which I answered, and then she gave me time to actually tell my story. And telling the story was actually a big part of recovery. And that's one of the things that Changing Minds equipped me for. So I guess, you know, there's a little bit of a big circle there.
Right. Quite a nice coincidence that the talk therapy and becoming an ambassador for Rakau Roroa sort of cemented together.
Yeah, they dovetailed very neatly.
Right. How much have you done on the Rakau Roroa?
Oh, gee. I attended their Hui last year. I've done quite a bit of media, because that's sort of what its focus is. Still trying to figure out where I'm going to fit my actual project work in, but that's gonna fit. It's a fantastic program. Highly recommend it, as would anybody who has been on it, I suspect. So I guess the takeaway from that is look for alternatives to medicine,
right,
because they are out there.
Yeah. Have you, I understand that you've gained some work. Is that in mental health?
No, not at all. Shortly after I arrived in Masterton, I just sort of cast around for something to do, you know, just to see what it's like. Fairly quickly, I ended up with a job driving as a pilot truck driver behind a mower. And we mowed the berms and verges, you know, around the wire wrap of the back roads. And I did the whole thing at 5 kilometers an hour. And so I saw the whole neighborhood. It was remarkable. You know, every place that you would never go to. And it was probably one of the best jobs I've had. I've done a few other things, and most recently I've joined a Māori-based NGO, which provides wraparound health services. I'm doing some technical bits for them, and I love it. It's a great job. I'm well-supported. They're letting me do the Santa thing, because I guess as a byproduct of COVID-19, I grew my beard. It's quite a name now.
Right.
And so it just sort of made sense to do the Santa thing. So yeah, That's what I'm doing now.
Okay. Well, let's take another music break, Andy, and you hang on there for us if you wouldn't mind. We've got another track from the Dudes, which is called That Look in Your Eye.
That look in your eyes, hot, cold, running fear.
Even when you're asleep now, honey, I can imagine. Well, I'm lying beside you. You make me feel so good inside. Oh, you make me feel like a man inside. Oh. When I look into those big brown eyes, I see everything.
So that was the dude who claimed, and probably have claimed over a number of years, that they would be playing their last concert, but they seemed absolutely adamant on the project the other night that their concert last Friday in Auckland at Spark Arena was definitely going to be their last. So that was a track called That Look in Your Eyes. And we're talking today to guest Andy Causton, who finds himself in a toilet queue.
This is where we were, isn't it? This is the previous track.
Well, we'll check that out with the a bit later, Andy. When does your Father Christmas role start at this shopping mall?
Well, I've been doing Father Christmas from Monday. Started at about 6 a.m. And I'll be doing it for, right through until Friday, finishing up at about 5.
Right.
It's long days, but it's good days. I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think probably given the circumstances, it's probably a little bit difficult to gain continuity in our interview. Is there anything that you'd like to say in conclusion about the journey that you've taken over the last few years?
I think the main message I'd take from it is to persist. And persistence in my case has been about 2 decades. There have been some very bad times, and there have been a few very good times, but persistence is what will get you through, I think.
Right. Well, what sort of things have you had to persist with? Have you had to persist in getting out and taking risks and making commitments?
Not so much. Persistence has involved, say, staying through multiple changes in medication. Persistence is involved being or feeling ill for a very long time, during the medicine changes. Persistence has been getting up in the morning at 7 o'clock precisely, even though I don't feel like it. persistence is involved. Seeking help, and that's a really important takeaway as well. Don't try to do it on your own. Seek help.
Right.
Persistence is involved. You know, with each knockback you get, getting up again. That's difficult because nobody can do that except you. And when you do feel like quitting, resisting that inner voice and saying, no, I will try one more time. And always make sure that you pop that one more time. Persistence is all about that. And, you know, as we go through this COVID-19 thing, we have no idea how long that's going to go. And we all need to persist, and we need to be patient. We need to trust our experts and trust our prime minister to know what she's doing. And we need to persist as a nation, as a team of 5 million. And it is going to be difficult on people's mental health.
Right.
Yet we must persist.
Yeah, well, we've sort of come out of the COVID-19. I mean, how did you manage throughout lockdown?
I think remarkably well, given that, you know, it was a difficult time for everyone. But then, you know, being alone for long periods of time has been, you know, a big part of my journey. So I was kind of used to it. I had an advantage over most people because I was used to it.
Right.
A lot of people weren't used to it. And the only thing I can say is persist, because we're out of it for now. It could always come back.
Right.
And so just be ready. And when it comes back, persist.
What message would you have to people about managing aloneness, managing on your own? Because certainly it's a challenge that I have when my mental health deteriorates. I find it exceedingly difficult. Have you got any particular tips about being on one's own?
It's tough. There's no doubt about it. You know, I've always had a dog to help me through it, except for a little while. Good books, play chess a lot against a computer. Find something to take your mind off the fact that you're rattling around in a room by yourself. And there's no easy way to do that, but, you know, you got to do it.
And so
that's part of the persistence part.
Right.
That's part of your resilience. You build that.
Sorry,
you don't get it automatically.
No, it's got to be worked on, doesn't it? And it takes, I think, a change in one's attitude, and perhaps mindfulness is one of the things that can be helpful for us.
Yeah, everybody has their own way of doing it. I found that mindfulness was good, but it provided me the opposite of what I needed.
Okay.
And that mindfulness encourages you to stay in the moment, whereas what I needed to do is to get out of the moment and start thinking ahead, because that's where hope comes in.
Sorry, that's where hope comes in, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so that was the stage I was at. So mindfulness sort of taught me the things that I needed to do the opposite of, and that was very useful because I had no idea. But, you know, it's going to be a different journey for everybody. And, you know, I suggest try different things.
Yeah.
Try all kinds of different things. You'll never know which one actually clicks for you. And that, too, is part of persistence.
Right. Well, you certainly sound a champion of persistence. We'll let you get back to your duties as Father Christmas. I thought that, in fact, those duties probably didn't start till around about midday. But that's all right. Thank you very much, Andy, for your time, and congratulations on the changes that you've been able to introduce by shifting from Auckland to Masterton and getting involved in the community there. Well done.
Well, thank you, Sheldon, and thank you for your help and for Pathways help. And, you know, we get through these things as a team, and we get through them together.
Yeah.
And that's another key message, you know, don't do it alone.
No.
So thank you for that. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas. And I'll see you on the other side of the New Year.
Yeah. Okay then, Andy, thank you. We'll finish up, take it from us today, with a track from Brooke Fraser, which is called Saving the World.
Didn't I tell you everything's fine? There's a good and bad somewhere in between. Often I feel like we're all navigating blind. Could we get a change of pace to set the scene? We could stay another day in this confusion.
That was a bit of a unique experience for me, and take it from us, interviewing Andy Causton, our guest today. I didn't realise that he had already started his duty as Father Christmas in this Masterton shopping centre, and he had to retreat to a cubicle in the men's room in order to undertake that. My apologies for the quality of some of the audio there, but that was the eventual outcome. Just a little saying here to finish off with. It says, I truly appreciate kindness. I appreciate people checking up on me. I appreciate a quick message. I appreciate those who ask if I'm okay. I appreciate every single person in my life who has tried to brighten my days. It's the little things that matter the most. So let's have another track from Brooke Fraser called Lifeline, and then we'll finish up Take It From Us on December the 15th.
Saturated. The waves are crashing closer. My feet already drowned. Doing the thing I said I hated. They've been swimming in the wrong waters. Now they're pulling me down. But I am clinging to you, never letting go.
Oh,
That's another track from Brooke Fraser, just filling in the time here on Mental Health Radio. Take it from us. Just remember that practicing feelings of both gratitude and compassion is good for our well-being. That's a good thought for coming up to this Christmas period when we need to look after our well-being with the sort of pace and pressure of Christmas. So we'll be back next week, hopefully with an interview about the new branding and naming of supporting families. They have chosen the brand and name of Yellow Brick Road, and we're hoping that we will talk to the CEO of this new organisation, a merger of all of the operations of supporting families, on our last show before Christmas. That'll be Tuesday, December the 22nd. So that, we hope, will be about this new organisation called Yellow Brick Road. So thanks to all our listeners for support during what has been a pretty tough year, made even tougher in that I have been a no-show as host of Mental Health Radio on a couple of on several occasions. And I would like to publicly thank Planet FM for their amazing support in replaying some of the archive shows that I guess take it from us as Bill built up over 13 years of me hosting the show. So all the best for Christmas, and thank you very much for your support and allegiance. And I guess, as our guest today said, persistence is a very good way of getting through tough times, and I guess proving to ourselves that we can do it. It's worth taking the risks, and we can build our self-confidence and build our way back into community by taking some of those risks and being persistent about those things that we have done in the past and we know we can continue to do in the present and in the future as well.
Quererte, cómo no voy a adorarte, cómo explicar lo que siento al tenerte.